Today on Real Life Radio.
If my left arm falls off, I don't understand that. But I know this, it's going to be for the glory of God. I don't understand that. It takes a lot of faith to understand that. You want to talk about faith? It takes a lot of faith to accept from God something that is not going your way.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, we're going to break away from the norm to feature some of the best Jack Hibbs podcasts from the past year. Now, Pastor Jack will be discussing relevant topics that'll challenge you to go deeper into your relationship with Christ so that you can make an effective impact on the world that really desperately needs the truth of the gospel. Today's podcast is called Healing, and Pastor Jack will be talking about what the Bible says about our attitude towards healing, faith, and suffering in a fallen world where sickness and death really are a part of life. Now, in his special episode called Healing, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So Jesus encounters this man and he opens his eyes. Jesus heals the man of blindness. And so the disciples and others have been conditioned to think, wow, regarding this guy that's blind, who sinned that he may that he's blind? Is it him or is it his mom and dad? Notice this. Wow, the guy's blind. He must be a really bad sinner, right? Or his parents are really messed up. And Jesus said, he didn't sin, nor did his parents sin to bring about this blindness. But this man is blind for the glory of God. I don't understand how God does that. But I know this. I know that God doesn't dwell in my time frame of things. Now, Jesus enters this world that's broken and ravaged by sin and the results of sin. And he comes in and he brings the kingdom. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, was exposing the kingdom of God's power to the power of darkness and of wickedness and of hurt, pain, sin, sorrow, and illness. And in this situation, Jesus says, the man was born blind that for this moment, the glory of God would be displayed. All right. Okay. Why do some people have Down syndrome children? I don't know, but it's for the glory of God. If my left arm falls off, I don't understand that. But I know this, it's going to be for the glory of God. I don't understand that. It takes a lot of faith to understand that. You want to talk about faith? It takes a lot of faith to accept from God something that is not going your way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us that in the last days, in fact, it was true back in Peter's day, and it's going to become even more true in our day, that there will be those who will be manipulated by Satan. They're going to do signs and wonders, and they're going to be involved in the ministry because the bottom line is that their hearts are greedy. They are greedy, and they will manipulate people for greed. Notice, by the way, notice this, that many of the healing ministry people, number one, schedule their healings, which I find incredibly hilarious. Hey, make sure you join us in 2 months. We're going to be at the Ding Dong Auditorium and we're going to have a healing service. Really? If God heals, it's going to be his sovereign choice, but you cannot schedule a revival. You can't schedule a salvation. You can't schedule a healing. This would rob God of his sovereignty, okay? Now, I'll get to some of these other verses that you're already starting to get all sweaty about and upset about, but just know this. In the last days, greed is going to be the motive for people to preach bogus messages about Christ and and poor sermons, but they're gonna titillate and tantalize people by demonic activity. But the bottom line for the human is greed. I want to make money. Notice how many of these really super duper rich people that are in the ministry traffic around the healing circuit. But notice how they don't go where there's no money. You don't see them in the dust fields of Ethiopia or in Uganda or Nigeria. You don't see them in the impoverished regions of Vietnam, do you? You want to know why God's not healing in those countries? Because there's no money in it for the greedy guy. I was being sarcastic. I know God heals in those terrible places, but the greedy guy, he doesn't want to go there because there's not enough money in it for him. So that's often the case, sad to say. I'm not going to mention a name. I don't want to get sued because he's got way more money than we do and he could sue the snot out of us. But I knew somebody who at this, our church, the church that I've honored to pastor, his main sound and lighting director for his international tours went to our church and told me about the things that would go on and the things that would be the prerequisite for scheduling where a healing would take place. And money was always the first consideration. Here's one of my favorites of all time, because it happened to me. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Mark 7, 31 to 37 is a situation there where this guy, who's got some very good friends, bring him to Jesus. You kind of get the feeling the guy doesn't want to go anywhere, and I get it. But they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus takes the young man, I assume he's a young man, doesn't say. Jesus takes the man and takes him off to the side and away from the people. And Jesus does a series of actions that are quite remarkable because the man cannot speak. He can only make what the Bible says in the Greek language, very strange sounds. He can't hear and he can't speak. Think about how embarrassing that is. I stuttered terribly up until like about the age of 23, I think it was. So I understand the embarrassment of all of that. It was bad. I didn't stutter sometimes. I stuttered all the time. Very embarrassing. So you'd rather avoid people and you'd rather not say anything at all. So Jesus spits on his fingers. Jesus grabs this man's tongue. Okay, then Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears, looks up to heaven, sighs. The word in Greek is he heaves his chest with grief, and looking up to heaven says, Epaphratha, be open, be loosed. Maybe the man read his lips because Jesus spoke Aramaic. And the Bible says that immediately the man could hear and he could speak plainly. And the Bible says, Jesus told him, don't tell anybody I just did this miracle. Just keep this between us. And the man probably went, anything you say, and then took off and was shouting and telling everybody what had happened. And the Bible says the more the man was told not to say anything, the more he proclaimed it. The conclusion of the crowd was, Jesus does all things well. Isn't that beautiful? I find that gorgeous, beautiful, thrilling. And he did that to me one night on Lido Island in Newport Beach, California. God touched my tongue and healed me in a second. It was awesome. He does all things well. Matthew 13, verses 57 and 58. The Bible tells us that Jesus could not do any miracles in his hometown of Nazareth because the people did not have faith in him. They didn't believe in him. And so he wanted to do miracles there, but the people didn't believe in him. I find that interesting. Jesus doesn't just roll into town and do anything against the will of people. Notice, there are people that Jesus healed who had fears and doubts. Remember, he even said to many, only believe. So that is a very, very important thing. But know this, that if God just rolls into town and performs healings, then what about his own town of Nazareth, where he said He couldn't heal there because of unbelief. You need to process that. You need to think that. You need to file that in your doctrine of healing. Again, I believe God heals. And I've seen God heal. I remember praying for a woman by the name of Judy, and she had breast cancer. I didn't know that. She was in the crowd. It was a Wednesday night. We were having an afterglow service, and I just felt led by God to say this. And so I had to exercise this in faith because I didn't know. There's a couple thousand people sitting there, quiet. We're just waiting upon the Lord. And I said, this might apply to somebody here if I'm hearing from God, but this thought just entered my head. And the Lord is desiring to heal you right now of breast cancer. And I made that statement, and I found out on Sunday, the following Sunday, that Judy came up to me crying at church. She's crying, and she said, you won't believe what happened on Wednesday night. When you said what you said, I felt my right breast, it felt like there was a blowtorch of fire on my right breast. That's where I have the cancer. And I felt like I caught fire. And then I went to the doctor, to my scheduled appointment on Tuesday, and the cancer is completely gone. Pastor Jack, I was healed. Hey, that's awesome. And we gave God the glory. I believe that. I believe that. Does God always heal? He doesn't always heal. But he does according to his will, and it's always good. When you go to Israel, there's the pools of Bethesda in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And at the pools of Bethesda is an amazing situation that takes place, and you can read about it in detail. But the Jews believe that an angel or angels descended from heaven and stirred up the pool. And when the water began to move, the infirmed, the sick, those that are in need of healing, they would gather around the pool and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And there was no pattern or consistency to this. But their belief was when the angel stirs up the water, the first guy in wins the prize. And the prize was healing. Really a weird thinking, right? But that's what they believed. And so Jesus walks by and he says to this guy that's crippled and he's got his little bed, his little homeless mat kind of a thing, right? Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And the guy's probably looking at Jesus like, what, are you crazy? Of course I do. And Jesus tells him, why don't you stand up? And he said, well, I can't get healed because I start making my way to the water when the angel moves the water. So I start making my way there and people cut in front of me. They take cuts and I never make it in time. Can you get me to the water? And Jesus tells him, I want you to take up your bed and walk. And the man begins to stand up and he walks. And of course, the Pharisees are foaming at the mouth, freaking out. They're just all upset about this. And he's healed. But here's a great challenge that was pointed out to me. The Bible says there were a multitude gathered around the pool, but Jesus only healed one guy. How come? That was his will. I don't understand it. I don't know why he didn't walk around and clear the entire area out. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, you got to remember that when Jesus launched the kingdom of God, this is the order in which it goes. The gospel is preached, and then people were healed or the gifts were manifested, always in that order. The gospel is preached, people are saved, and then signs or miracles follow the preaching of the gospel, always in that order. By the way, that is still happening today in what we call the unknown parts of the world. Now, obviously, they're known because they're missionaries that are sent there. I was just told not too long ago by one of our missionaries, I'm not going to name the country because it's a very violent anti-Christian country, but he prayed for a young Muslim man, 13-year-old Muslim man, that had an absolute mangled birth defect foot. His foot was completely, like, not fully formed. On a busy street, they were sitting down having coffee, at a cafe in this Muslim country, and the man's foot was healed in an instant. This is only 10, 12 months ago. So God does this stuff. You say, well, how come I prayed and you know, he didn't do it. Listen, the number one thing is the gospel first, and then the signs and miracles follow, okay? And the other thing is this. There's times when God, even as the kingdom is introduced, there's times when God uses suffering because it's the best thing for the time, best thing for the season. Now, that takes a lot of faith. And don't write me and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I suffered for years with something called Crohn's disease. You can look it up later. I asked God to heal me. I had people pray for me. And it went on for years. And he didn't. But I tell you what he did do. I had no idea that the day that it hit, and it hit, by the way, like a lightning strike. That's how it comes. It just, boom, it happened. It just so happened that it was our Monday night Bible studies desire to have an Easter sunrise service. We had a sunrise service and hundreds of people came, and it was an amazing day, and we were all shocked. We couldn't believe it, and God did an amazing thing. And then that night, I got whacked by this thing, and now I look back years later, decades later, and I thank him for it. I praise him for it because I think God used it to keep my head on the ground. Because our Monday night group went from 50 people to 300 people on a Sunday, Easter morning, you know? So God, I think God used what the enemy, maybe the enemy wanted to do it. I don't know. I don't care. It worked. It gutted me, so to speak. Keep that in mind, that when the gospel goes out, it often goes out in power, and you can expect God to move in power. And gifts of the Holy Spirit will be manifested in power according to the will of God. So also this, Philippians 3:10, this is great. Because during that time that I was suffering with Crohn's disease, this was the verse that became part of the fiber of my life. Paul in Philippians 3:10 announces that I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, if I might be conformed into the image of Christ. Did you hear what Paul prayed in Philippians 3:10? Lord, give me the power and give me the sufferings. I want to have the power to preach and to proclaim and to do whatever you want me to do. But I also know that I cannot be a mature believer without suffering. So give me that too. That takes a huge amount of faith to receive from God what is best for you, even if it hurts. Paul knows this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, Paul rejoices in the fact that I'd rather hang on to my infirmities and my sicknesses any day to have the power of God. I'd rather have God's strength exhibited in my life and be weak. All right? John 11, verses 3 and 4. John 11, verses 3 and 4. Remember, Jesus is, it seems, I mean, I can't prove this exactly, but if Jesus had a best friend, it's not Peter, James, or John, it appears. When you read the Gospels, it seems that Jesus's best friend was Lazarus. Remember him? He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. Lazarus, their brother, just seemed, him and Jesus seemed to have a tight relationship. But remember, Jesus was down at the Jordan River when news came to him that his good friend Lazarus was really sick, bad. And Jesus didn't go. He didn't go to heal him. It was asked of him, Lord, will you come and heal? And Jesus waited and waited. And the disciples said, are you going to go? Are we going to go? And he waited and he waited. And then the word came, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says to them, I'm glad for your sake that he is dead, because you're not about to, I'm paraphrasing, you're not about to believe what's about to happen unless it happens this way. Jesus gets there and Lazarus is already entombed. He's already wrapped with grave cloths. He's placed in the tomb. He is dead. And Jesus waits extra long. He shows up and everybody's crying. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the ground and is resurrected from the dead. And it's beautiful because Lazarus' sickness, it says, also was used for the glory of God. God was going to be honored in that. So, Jack, how can God be honored in my 11-year-old getting sick and having to go through all this suffering? I don't know, but I see it all the time. Why do some kids get healed and my kids don't? I don't know, but I see it all the time. Why do some kids die and other kids recover? I don't know, but I see it all the time. And I know this, that every time people's eyes are focused on Jesus or people don't know Jesus, people hear about Jesus. It's remarkable. God wastes nothing. I've never seen him waste a thing. See, Jack, I don't believe in what you're saying. I believe that wherever the Christian goes, people should be healed. It's too bad Paul didn't know that, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says that he has left Trophimus at Miletus sick, so people take care of him. I got to go. I left him there sick at Miletus. I got to hit the road. I got ministry to do. Why didn't Paul just heal him? Why didn't Paul just snap his fingers in Jesus' name? Get up. Trophimus, we've got a lot of work to do. Stop goofing around. I need you. Let's go. What's the deal? God is sovereign. God heals when he wants. We pray always for a healing, and we pray believing, but we leave the outcome to God. I could go on and on about this, but I need to end. I'll leave you with this. When or how are you going to go to heaven? When are you going to go to heaven? You don't know. Neither do I. And you can't tell me when. Because you don't know. I don't know. How? Listen, when are you going to go to heaven as a believer? And how are you going to die? You have to die to go to heaven. Or the rapture interrupts death. How and why? Until the rapture happens, you got to get sick to go to heaven. Or you got to get hit by a truck or fall off a ladder. You got to have a heart attack, right? Billy Graham died of sickness, right? J. Vernon McGee died of cancer. You got to die sign. How are you going to get to heaven? We pray for the sick. We pray believing. Sometimes God heals. Sometimes he doesn't. He's sovereign. He's got all power. We leave the results with God. We pray believing. We trust him. We pray according to the word of God. And we pray thankful. And we pray, thy will be done. And Jesus is the one who epitomizes that. Ultimately, Lord, if this cup can be passed from me, if you can remove this cup, that's the cup of the salvation of man's redemption. If this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done. That's the prayer that we are to pray. But by all means, friends, be praying, anointing them with oil, and praying for God to heal, and expect God to heal. And if he doesn't heal in that second, in that hour, and in the week, or in the next 6 months, let God be God. Will you still walk with him when the days are hard and difficult, or you have cancer? You know, my sister would not accept the gospel. She had her New Age crystals. She had her pyramids and all of her weird New Age junk until she got cancer. And none of her New Age isms could help. So then she asked me to share the Lord with her again. And I did. She accepted Christ and she suffered for 7 years. And she got closer. Every year she got closer to Jesus until she went home to see him. My mom was a Catholic, not born again. Through her suffering with cancer, accepted Christ 4 weeks before she died. She went to heaven. My dad accepted Christ and 7 days later died and went to heaven. Cancer in my family has been the greatest evangelist. It couldn't do what Billy Graham did. It couldn't do what Greg Laurie did. It couldn't do what Luis Palau did. It couldn't do what I did. Cancer, God used as an evangelist to save the stubborn. Think about it.
pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his very special message taken from the Jack Hibbs podcast episode called Healing. Thanks for listening today, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.